We're going to continue our little series that we began last week on humor and laughter. And, of course, we've seen some of the benefits of laughter, how it helps boost our immune system and how it deals with our stress and improves our circulation. There's just a whole lot of benefits that come from the ability of being able to laugh. Bible says that a cheerful heart does good like medicine. And so, indeed, we need to learn how to laugh at things in life because, as someone said last week, if we didn't laugh, it would hurt too much. But I think about, we've been rehearsing with our Christmas choir already and preparing for Christmas season and the choir singing. I always become a part of the Christmas choir. I can't sing very well, so Tom and I were joking last Wednesday night because I asked him to sing the special, and he said no. And Tom Eisen, not Tom McKee. Tom, if you want to sing too, you can do sing too. We got to talking about and laughing about Andy and Barney. Remember Barney when Barney was going to be a part of the choir? And they told him to sing softer, 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 softer. And then they finally had this guy just boom out with this big bass voice behind him. And that's what I do. I just limp sync with the person beside me. But I think about the choir director who came to the pastor one day and said, Pastor, if you don't get Sam out of the choir, she says, I'm going to quit. I mean, I'm just going to quit. And, of course, the pastor was distraught. I mean, they don't want anybody, you know, resigning and quitting like a choir director. But he decided that he, after much thought, would go to Sam and share with him. He said, you know, Sam said, you have a lot of gifts and a lot of talents and abilities, but, you know, there's other places in the church that you can serve other than the choir. And he says, why? I like to sing. He says, well, Sam, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but there's been about four people who have told me that you can't sing. And Sam shot back and said, well, there's been about 50 people who tell me that you can't preach. Now, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. And I don't know whether I want to weep or whether I want to laugh this morning, but nonetheless, it's just one of those things that we have in life. And I like this story. We're going to talk this morning about worry. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. And anxiety and worry. Anxiety addicts abound everywhere today. And I happen to be one who fights that and wrestles with that. But Irma Bombeck tells a story about a little guy by the name of Donald. And here's the way he expressed his anxieties on the first day of school. And I can still remember when I went to school for the first time, I did not want to be there. There's anywhere else in the world I would rather be in school, okay? He says, my name is Donald. I don't know anything. I have new underwear, a loose tooth, and I didn't sleep last night because I'm worried. What if the bell rings and a man yells, where do you belong? And I don't know. What if the trays in the cafeteria are too tall for me to reach? What if my loose tooth comes out when we have our heads down and are supposed to be quiet? Am I supposed to bleed quietly? What if I splash water on my name tag and my name disappears and no one knows who I am? Can't you just feel for that little tyke? I mean, wow. I can just feel for him in so many ways because I've sort of been there, done that. But again, we worry about so many things in life today, and some of us are prone to worry. Some of us are prone to anxiety, but we worry about terrorism. We worry about Ebola. We worry about, our finances. We worry about relationships. We worry about a lot of different things in life, and it's just really difficult to sometimes get on with life because worry can really sap our strength. But this morning, I want us to look at one of the words we have for worry. And when you look in the New Testament, you have the word anxiety, and it actually means to be distracted or pulled apart. Now, friends, picture with me a horse on one side and a horse on another side. And those horses being given the command to pull, and here you are being pulled apart, stretched apart. That's what it's like to worry and to be consumed by anxiety. It means to be pulled apart and to be, basically be torn asunder. That's what the word means. Now, on the opposite end of that, the word peace means to be united, to be bound together, to be whole. So can you see the opposites of those? Peace means to be whole, to be bound together, and the worry is to be distracted or to be pulled apart. Elsewhere, we read in the dictionary that it means dread or apprehension or uncertainty. It means to be unable to control the future. You feel vulnerable. There's a German word for that, which actually the word worry comes from, which means to strangle or to choke. And so some of you know what it's like to feel like you're being strangled or choked by the worries of your life. And it's just not very good at all because, again, anxiety can distract our focus. It's a terrible waste of time as we get consumed with it. It really ruins our productivity. It just destroys us. The number one prescription medication in the world today is actually for anxiety and for worry. We can't deal with the worry. We can't deal with the anxiety. And so we take pills to be able to control that. And that's a good way of being able to control some of it. But I want to talk to you this morning about another way as well that helps with all of that. But not being able to deal with it, being anxious, can lead to being reckless, being irritable, being uncertain. It can cause us all sorts of pain and physical problems. It can bring ulcers on in our life. And we deal with that by going shopping, drinking caffeine, or just retreating, withdrawing to ourselves. The whole culture, though, is dealing with that. Now, I think about a story that Jesus shares in Mark chapter 4. And it's a story about the gospel and how the seed is sown on various soils. And as I read this gospel once more, I read about how Jesus sowed some seed on some well-beaten area, well-beaten ground. And the seed laid on that ground, and the birds came along and actually ate the seeds. Then he said there was a farmer who sowed his seed among the rocky ground, and at first they received it with joy. And you know, there's a lot of things that we receive with joy. We receive the gospel with joy. But what happens is there's trials and tribulations that come along, and that worry consumes us, and it takes away the joy of the gospel. Then he says there's certain seed that was sown among the thorns. And in the book of Mark chapter 4, it tells us how the thorns are actually the cares of this world or the deceitfulness of riches. And so we have the cares of this world that rob us of our joy. In other words, it distracts our focus. It robs us of our ability to rest securely in the arms of God. It chokes out the truth. It stifles our joy. And it basically makes our life miserable. And for those of us who deal with this worry on a consistent basis, we need to hear this message because we're saying, how can I deal with worry? Is there a solution for that? And so we turn to Philippians chapter 4. It's the same passage of scripture that we looked at last week when we began this little series on laughter. But let's notice what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Meditate upon these things. Now again, there are several words that I want you to notice this morning. Six words: worry about nothing, pray about everything. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Can you say that with me? Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Let's say that one more time. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. And so what we find here is that worry about nothing, pray about everything. Anything that tanks your joy, anything that ruins your productivity, anything that basically keeps you awake at night, anything that you feel like somehow is out of your control, those things become sources of worry, and we need to deal with them. How do we deal with them? Well, we need to basically tell God about each and every one of them, but let's go back and look at that first of all. We're to worry about nothing, pray about everything, and first of all, rejoice. He says, rejoice always, and again I say to rejoice. Why am I to rejoice? I mean, all these things are coming in upon me. You know, it might be terrorism, Ebola, finances, relationships, health, whatever it might be. You know, doctor visit, I'm worried about these things, but he says to rejoice. Why do I rejoice? Because first of all, we need to remember that we have a great big God. Last week, I don't listen to Christian radio or radio, for much of anything. I mean, when I drive my car, you know, I basically drive in silence, you know, so that I can talk to myself, okay? But last week, I had the radio on, and I had it on WQME or whatever that station is, and I heard several songs that really spoke to my heart. And several of those songs reminded me of who I am as a child of God. I am a chosen one. I am a redeemed person. I am forgiven. I mean, those songs really bless my heart because it reminds me this morning that I am, and you are, if you have a faith in Jesus Christ, a child of the King. You know, you're a child of the King. You're royalty. You have a father, a daddy in heaven who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, as oftentimes been said in the scriptures. We have a God who cares for me, who loves me, who's concerned about me, and who wants me, invites me to come and share with him and talk with him. You know, when I begin to understand how big my God is, and that my God, the God of this universe, is my daddy, and he can talk with me, and I can put my burdens upon him, he clothes me in the garments of righteousness, that helps me to worry about nothing and to pray about everything. Because I have a God, as the songs were saying to me, who has chosen me, who has redeemed me, who has forgiven me, who loves me, who will never allow anything to separate me from his great love, that enables me to be able to rejoice. And to sing along with those songs. And to rejoice and to sing the songs of faith that we have. That our God is a big God. Secondly, it reminds me that we are to worry about nothing, pray about everything, and to relax. Relax. Now in the scriptures it says, let your gentleness be known to all men, or let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. How many of you remember the Staples commercial that had the big red button? And it said easy on it. You know, we're able to press that easy button and we're able to relax. So we can relax with the things that really crowd in upon us and that torment us, you know. But sometimes we live all stressed out, and I know I live this way. Last week we were coming home from choir practice, and this is just one of those things that you don't really need to know, but I'll share it anyway. But I turned to Lana, I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, for the last few weeks and months, I've been clicking my teeth, grinding my teeth. Greg, what's happening here? Grinding my teeth, huh? Now that's what Lana said. And I said, no, I'm not stressed, because oftentimes what happens is I have a melody in my heart, you know, and she knows when has a melody in my heart, because I'm always tapping on her or I'm clicking my teeth. So I'm actually keeping drums. It's like a drum, you know. But no, she says you're stressed out, you know. So it could be I'm probably stressed out in some way, worrying about something. So I'm trying to say, don't worry about the small stuff and don't worry about the big stuff. Or otherwise, you're not going to have any more teeth left, okay? You're going to have them ground down to nothing. So relax, relax. Learn how to lean back and just to lay yourself into the hands of this great big God and let him handle the things of life. Relax, learn to relax in life. Now, that's easier said than done, isn't it? It really is. I mean, to be able to sit back and to relax and say, ah, you know, that is something else that is hard to work on. But Paul says again, and I remind myself, worry about nothing, pray about everything, and relax. Let your gentleness and your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Let them be able to see that in your life. Now here's the third one. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, and rest. 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 Now, as I stop and I think about this, you know, and I don't want to, you know, make this a true confession this morning, but you know, as I look at my life, and of course I have a mother who worries a lot, and you know, I somehow have it rubbed off on me, and you try to deal with this. But by my own nature, as I've said before, remember when I was talking about the Harley Davidson, and I said, you know, it's not the destination, it's the journey that counts. And yet I'm a destination kind of a guy. I like to get to point A and point B as quick as I can, and I don't like to have distractions, I don't like to have detours, I don't like to have obstacles. And believe it or not, well, I won't bring that up. But anyway, you know, I like to get from here to there as quick as I can without the distractions. I also have a tendency to become, and don't take this out of context, you know, and think I'm some sort of a wacko, but, you know, I'm sort of an obsessive compulsive kind of an individual. And you really have to understand obsessive compulsive kind of a person in their life. You know, because they have a tendency to have to go through a certain ritual, certain things. Now, that's not, you know, broad like this, but there are certain things that you have to do, or otherwise you feel as if the world is going to be out of control, or you're going to be condemned, or that you're a failure. And God sort of convicted me of that, you know, some years ago, and I came to the conclusion as I read this little phrase up there that it says, worry is a frustrated aspiration to omniscience. Because what God said to me was, Dennis, you know, what you're doing, if you have to go through this and you feel like somehow things are going to end up in a disaster if you don't do this, is that you're not really leaning upon me. You're not really trusting in me. You see, here's the truth of the matter is, and I want you to write this down, worry is essentially not believing that God will get it right. Worry is not believing God will get it right. Bitterness is believing that God got it wrong. So, you know, we anger in our hearts, bitterness begins to reside in our hearts because we believe God didn't get it right in the first place. But worry is somehow believing that God won't get it right. And if I'm in charge of history, if I'm in charge of the day, then it has to be this way or otherwise it's going to be a disaster. And life is going to fall apart. Now, this coming week is October 30th, Halloween, but just before that, we talk about Reformation Day. And Reformation Day is the day that Martin Luther, who was a young priest at that time, he came to the conclusion in his own life that the just would live by faith. It's biblical. It's what Paul teaches us. And he went before the church council, and he said, the just shall live by faith. And on that day, he posted a thesis on the door, 95 theses, 95 statements on the church door there in Wittenberg, Germany. And among those was the just will live by faith. He had a friend whose name was Philip Melanchthon. And Philip Melanchthon was a worrywart. He was a person who was consumed with worry. And he understood what this meant because he said to Philip Melanchthon, he says, let Philip cease to rule the world. You know, when you feel like everything that is determined in your day is dependent upon who you are or what you do or what you go through, you actually take God off the throne and you believe that somehow things have to work according to the way that you want them to work, or otherwise life will be a disaster. And yet, what does Jesus teach us in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, our Daddy, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And what does he say then? Thy will be what? Done, thy kingdom come. So what we talk about here is that basically it's a moment of surrender, a moment of submission before God. I surrender my day, my life, my future to God, and I believe that God will get it right, that God will direct my course. And when I am able to step back and realize that I have relaxed and placed myself in the hands of God, I have a divine rest, and it says in Scriptures again that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, rest. We talk about the Lord's Day being a day of rest. We come into this place on Sunday morning to do what? Or to worship, to fellowship. But for me, it's not only to worship and fellowship, but to remind myself who God is as a big, great big God, and to confess to him, I am dependent upon you. It's a declaration of dependence, saying, God, everything that I am, everything that I'm going to be, everything that I have is dependent upon you. And so I learned to relax and rest in God, and he holds me with these great big hands. And then it says the peace of God just envelops my mind. And when it says he guards my mind, it's like a sentry or a security guard standing at the gate of a city wall. And that security guard, or at the desk of a corporate building, and he guards those, he protects those coming into the building who might be harmful. You know, when you go into the airport, you get passed through all the security guards. Don't you fly a little bit easier in the air knowing that somehow they have been screened, you know, previous to getting on that plane? There's a certain peace that passes all understanding in the midst of all that. And so it's like a military term. The peace of God will guard my heart, guard my mind in Christ Jesus my Lord. So I'm to worry about nothing, pray about everything, and to rest and relax in him. Now, this is so cool because what does Paul again say? He says, turn your worries into prayers. And Eugene Peterson, who translated that into what he's called the Message, puts it this way, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. So that says to me that I'm to turn every worry, every anxious situation into the hand of God. Transfer my worries into prayers, make them into prayers. Secondly, transfer your problems and troubles and anxiety to God. We don't have to bear them. We don't have to carry them. We can take them and place them on God. I mean, let him carry the load for us. And then we are to redirect our focus. Redirect our focus. Let's notice the last part. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything worthy of praise, meditate upon these things. Think about these things. Now, what's he saying there? Is he saying just think positive thoughts? No. Is he just saying, you know, just think about, you know, pretty roses sitting out in the garden? No. He's not saying any of that. He's not saying to focus upon those. What he's really telling us to do in the context of the passage is, whatever you do in the midst of your worries, turn your worries into prayers, transfer your problems to God, and meditate upon who God is. You see, look at this. He says, whatever things are true. What's true? The promises of the Word. The promises of the Word. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true. Amen? So we meditate upon the promises. What is noble? What is just? What is pure? God is. What is lovely? God is. He's beautiful beyond description. I mean, whatever is good to report, God is the gospelist. So what Paul is saying here is, take your worries, transfer them to God, and then focus upon God and how big He is. Because our God is a mighty God. He's a God who cares for you, and He's a God who cares for me, because He's the daddy who owns it all. And we can come before Him, and He's not going to close the door. He's not going to tell us to hightail it out of there. He's going to listen to our prayers and concerns and burdens. I have a story I'll share with you, and I actually had another story I was going to share, and it was about a lady and a parrot, but I decided not to share it. But about two men who were business executives, and they went out to lunch one day, and they were sitting there, and the one said to the other one, says Mike, says, how's things going? He says, oh, it's going great. It's going great. Things couldn't get any better. He says, I went to the doctor, and he told me that, of course, I had some ulcers, and if I didn't deal with the ulcers, you know, it was going to kill me. And he said, so I decided to, you know, hey, I decided to deal with it, and I don't have a worry in the world. And the other executive said, well, how in the world is that possible? How do you not have any worry in the world running the corporation that you run? He says, it's very simple. He says, after the doctor told me that I would die from ulcers, he said, I went out and I hired myself a professional worrier. He just worries for everything that I worry about. So anything I worry about, anything that concerns me, I just give it to my professional worrier. He says, wow, that's really pretty neat. He says, I wish I had one of those. He says, how much do they cost? He says, $100,000 a year. And the other man said, $100,000 a year? $100,000 a year for a professional worrier? How in the world can you afford that? He says, I don't know. I just let him worry about it. Well, you know, God is in many ways our professional worrier. You know, He's the one whom we cast all of our burdens and cares upon Him, because He cares for us. And you know, it's very difficult when we worry about those cares and those anxieties in life, because they do wear us down. They take away our joy. They sap our energy. They really do. But again, I go back in my life and say, you know what? God does a much better job at this than I do. He sits upon the throne, and why would I want to take the whole weight of the world upon my shoulders? God, I'm going to give it to You. I mean, I have a God who cares for me, a God who loves me. You know, the more you focus upon your problems, the bigger those problems become, and the bigger your worries become. But if you begin to focus upon God and meditate upon God and how true and noble and lovely He is, the bigger your God becomes, and the little your worries become, okay? You begin to cast them all upon God, and He cares for us. So you turn your worries into prayers. You transform and transfer your problems and worries to God. Then you begin to relax in who God is, as a God of the universe who cares for measly little you and me. But He gave His life for us. He gave His Son for us. He died upon the cross. He takes our sins, our concerns upon us, and as His child, He knows what our life is about. And He's in the process of making us after the image of His own Jesus Christ and the character of His Son, Jesus Christ. But this really helps me in a whole lot of ways. And I've tried to do this, you know, in the past years or so. When I begin to worry about something, you go to the Word of God, you stand upon the promise. And as you begin to stand upon those promises, God begins to speak to your heart and mind. You say, you know what? It's a waste of time for me trying to carry these things around. God, why don't You take my problems, take my worries today? And it really eases my life. It eases my own tension and anxiety and helps me to relax a little bit more. But again, what do? You turn your worries into prayers, transfer your problems to God, redirect your focus upon God. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Precious Lord and God, we come to You today. And we know that every one of us have worries and anxiety. I mean, it's just part of life. It's something that happens in our lives. And we get concerned about various things, and things are not going our way. And yet, Lord, when we come to the point where we feel as somehow, you know, things can only happen the way we want them to happen, and we've taken control of our own life, I pray, Lord, that we come to the point in our own life where we just merely fall on our knees, yield our lives, yield our hearts in sweet surrender to You, and say, Lord, You are the Lord of the universe. Sit upon the throne of my life. I mean, sit upon the circle of the world. Lord, You are the history maker. And Lord Jesus, I pray, help me to relax, knowing that I am a child of the King. I am a child of the One who created this universe. I am a child of the One who parted the Red Sea, a child of the One who caused the sun to stand still, the child of the One who raised Your Son from the dead and has given me eternal life and the power of the Spirit in my life. I'm a child of the one who is the great I am. Father, I pray, may I merely just say, Lord Jesus, take my worries, take my cares, give me that peace. Give those individuals who are wrestling with situations this morning a tremendous, wonderful peace. May it just wash over their hearts and minds. And may they leave this place knowing that you care deeply for each and every one of them and love them with an everlasting love. Father, I pray, forgive us for the times that we take the worries back. Help us just to pause at those times and say, Lord Jesus, forgive us, have them back. And just to trust in your great sovereignty in Jesus' name. Amen.